Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're going to be out at the Best Stop, Katie, on Wednesday. The Best Stop was actually recommended to me by the Twitchers a long, long time ago. The one good thing they've done. I've loved this place ever since. They're going to be there Wednesday. Cannot wait. It's our restaurant of the week, Best Stop Katy. Best Stop Supermarket is expanded to Katy, as you know. No more trips to Scott, Louisiana for down-home Cajun-inspired groceries and takeout eats, including boudin and pork rinds. They brought it to you right at I-10, just west of 99. Whether you want some cracklin' or boudin for your Labor Day road trip or some specialty Cajun meats like Cajun stuffed pork chops or tenderloin for your next tailgate, the Best Stop has you covered with authentic Cajun food direct from the boot. And this Wednesday, you can go see Gallant and George and the Killer Bees as they broadcast from the Best Stop Katy. Of course, we're the Killer Bees, and Gallant and George will be half of Gallant and George. But cannot wait. Cannot wait. To go. I'm going to buy so much boudin. So much boudin I will be purchasing. And so much cracklin I will be purchasing as well. Ocho, keep Cam Akers would make me feel good about losing Singletary, because like Singletary, Akers has some shake and bake. He has really good vision. He's really good at reading the holes and penetrating through them.
Yeah, obviously the big thing is the durability of, can he sustain health? But from what I've seen, both catching the football and running the football, no matter how bad or, you know, the reserves were that were blocking for him, he still can go side to side. He can get free. Everybody was talking about the spin moves that he was making as well. But the fact is it looks like he still has a gear that can play in the NFL.
Yeah, I want him on the team too, obviously. All right, let's finish up the tight ends here. Schultz, Jordan, Stover for me. Mm-hmm. Any objection? Nope. Any objection? The tackles, I have Kenyon Green, Kendrick Green, Titus Howard, Nick Broeker. Not really great about that, but I think that's where they go. Juice, your starting center, Patterson, his backup, Shaq Mason, right guard, and they'll only keep one guard backup, which I think will be Kendrick Green. Defensive ends, obviously Autry's on the suspension list, so you don't have to carry him on the 53. I have Hunter, Anderson, Barnett, Hughes, and Allie Gay. Least confident about Allie Gay. I could see him being cut, no doubt about that. Defensive tackles are tough because I think you have three players for two IR spots. I think Noah Brown's an option. I think Christian Harris is an option. I think Tim Settle is an option to be placed on the IR. He's hurt. But I had Settle making it. Now, what they could do is they could also just cut John Weeks, knowing that, hey, John Weeks, we're going to sign you in 12 hours. So you keep an extra guy. Place him on the IR with that spot being open, and then you re-sign John Weeks. And I was reading Texans cap, too, and he has where John Weeks has, like, the lowest guaranteed money or whatever, so it wouldn't hurt you cap-wise. So if John Weeks is cut tomorrow, that's why they're doing it. They're doing it to keep somebody else. They're going to immediately place him on the IR, and then they're going to re-sign John Weeks. So do not, when you see it, do not flip out, because I think it's a really good chance it happens. But at Foley, Edwards, Settle, Davis has impressed me, Harrison impressed me, and I just don't see him moving on from Heinisch. So that's my defensive tackle room. Any issues there?
No.
Linebackers, I have Harris starting on the IR. Al Shire, Henry To'o, Hanson, Hewitt, Hill. Five there.
That sounds right, yep.
Corners, I cut Jeff Okuda. I'm
fine with it.
I have no idea what they're going to do at corner outside of Laster. I'll be honest. Stingley, Laster are my two corners. I have them keeping Henderson, but I can see him being cut. I have them keeping Ford, but I can see him being cut. I think that, honestly, I think you could have an entirely new outside corner room after Stingley and Laster in a week.
I was just going to say, I think there's a good chance that you could cut both Okuda and Henderson, and that they could be looking at the waiver wire and some veterans that might be dangled out there as cap casualties and go, you know what? We probably could do better off with one of those guys or two.
Yep.
completely think that they could cut both those guys.
I do too. I just don't think they'll do it with the initial 53 tomorrow. Like they'll keep a couple because they have to for depth purposes in case they can't pick somebody up. It would be an insurance policy, but it wouldn't surprise me if all of those guys are gone. Nickel, Jalen Petrie. I actually have him keeping Bryant over Desmond King, and it has nothing to do with him dropping a punt. I just think they think higher of Bryant than King, but that one could go either way. And then my safeties, Petrie, whenever they're in 4-3, and then Murray, Ward, and Bullock.
No, I'm fine.
That's mine. My 53.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that they were talking about moving Petrie back and forth, but Petrie looks like he is your nickel, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah. All right. John Metchie's being he's being asked about. They're calling the Texans, according to Jordan Schultz, and they're asking about John Metchie because everybody knows that the Texans have a roster crunch at wide receiver. John Metchie, young player, former second rounder, has this year and next year left on his contract. What would you need to get back to be comfortable trading John Metchie?
I mean, we kind of kicked this around last week when you were looking at it, but we didn't, you know, we just didn't know how serious they were going to be about this. I just think that you're not going to get the pick that you used, which is what, a second rounder when you drafted him. You're not going to get that kind of return. If you're wanting what's realistic, probably a fifth round pick. I think that they could hope to get a fifth round pick. I had said last week that maybe a fourth. I just don't know any team, knowing that he might be on your bubble, is going to be willing to give up a pick as good as a fourth-round pick. So I'll say a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade him for a fifth. You trade him for a fifth?
No, not for this year and next year. The fact that you've got him under contract for this year and next year, and if you're trying to believe everything that everybody's telling you about how much they love him and how good he's looked, the same thing kind of thing we were talking about with Pierce as well. If he's that affordable, then unless someone knocks your socks off with an offer, you don't have to trade him. You've got him for this year and next year. And at the worst case scenario, he's in the back of your wide receiver room.
I wouldn't trade him for less than a fourth. Like, if I get a fourth, I'm thinking about it because, like, I also don't know where the Texans view him. If the Texans view John Metchie as wide receiver 7 and they're cutting him anyways, then they would trade him for a sixth. Like, better to trade him for a sixth than get nothing at all. Now, I don't think they view him as wide receiver 7. I think they now view him as a guy who's going to make this 53-man roster, but if they're in a tie between Metchie and Woods, if they want to go the special teams route and keep Skowronek or Sims, and it's like, okay, Metchie, we like him, but even if we keep him, he's our sixth wide receiver. He doesn't do much in special teams. He only has 2 years left in his contract. We like Hutchinson more. He has an extra year left on his contract over Metchie. Yeah, we think he's one of our top six, but we think he's six, and we don't think he's going to play a whole lot. Oh, Team X wants to give us a fourth rounder for him? I'd probably do that.
See, that's where I'm at with Metchie and with Woods, depending on how they feel. If you feel like you still like one or both of these guys, then especially because of the fact that Metchie, unlike Woods, you could save $5 million on your cap. Metchie with 2 years at very, very minimal pricing to keep him on your roster. If you believe that he's got the ability and you still want him, you see a role for him to be played, then you absolutely keep him. But if these guys were going to be casualties anyway, then go see what you can get on the open market. If someone wants a veteran like Woods or they want to take a flyer on a fresh start with a guy like Metchie, then go see what you can get for him. And like you said, at least you're not giving him away and just saying, hey, we're done and walking. You get something for him.
Yeah. I just don't know if you get much for Robert Woods. State of the Union on YouTube says, keep Sims as a returner, let Bobby Trees find another team. I'm down with that because Robert Woods saves you $5 million. And you might not repurpose that $5 million this year, but look at all this money going around for these guys that are, you know, CeeDee Lamb today. We saw Justin Simmons late in free agency get a lot of money. We know that the Texans are staring down the road of having to pay their young players a lot of money. And if you could save $5 million this year for a guy that's like a fringe player on your roster, and you can roll that over entirely for next year, like, I'm down for that. Like, I'm down for like saving $5 million this year and using it next year. So I'd be okay with that. I just don't get the sense that they view Robert Woods that way. I feel like they like him as the veteran in the room with Stephon Diggs. They've treated him like the veteran. I'm torn on it. I'm torn on – personally, I would move on. I'm torn on what they're going to do because of the way they've treated him in preseason.
Yeah, they really have. And the thing is he's come up somewhat big for you when you've needed him. When they've thrown him the football, he's been able to catch it. He still goes into traffic and catches it. He made good catches for you last year in the times that CJ, you know, kind of focused on him. But at the same time, if you can save, like I said, $5 million is one thing, but if you can also get something for him too, and you know Noah Brown's not going to be out for the long haul, and you know you can rely on Noah Brown, and Noah Brown does a lot of the same things as Robert Woods, but he's also younger, and he's had, you know, the big games for you last year in a couple of weeks. You know that you have other guys, Hutchinson for Mechie. You know you've got a guy that's younger like Brown, if he's going to be back soon, for Woods, where if they're expendable and you can get something for them, and also in the case of Woods save money, then I'm all for doing that.
Yeah, I would. I'd move on from Woods. Now, if I get a fourth rounder for Mechie, I'm doing it though. I'm doing it for John Mechie. Even though I have him on my 53, even though I think he's one of the top six receivers on this team, I think he's pretty far down on the depth chart. Like, I think they think higher of Noah Brown than John Mechie. I think they think higher of Xavier Hutchinson than John Mechie. So if Mechie's below those guys and I can get some real draft capital for him, I'm trading him for a fourth. Now, if I don't get a fourth, all right, well, I'm keeping him.
Because realistically, even next season, how far up can he break through in the depth chart?
Well, if Diggs is gone,
right?
Noah Brown was a one-year deal. So if you just don't sign any other free agents, he could, I mean, depending on where you have him and Hutchinson.
I think Hutchinson's above him. I think
so. If Hutchinson's above him, wide receiver four, if he could develop beyond Hutchinson, that's wide receiver three, but that's doing zero additions to the wide receiver room.
And I think that they would look outside.
And it would be his final year.
Yeah, I think they'd look outside, not for a wide receiver one to replace a Diggs-type guy, but I definitely think they could find veterans that they could fill, that could be a really good situational receiver for a team that already has Tank and Nico for next season, no matter what else they do, to where I just don't think if you have a place for those guys even next year, then you move on.
Yeah. Yeah, River says keep Mechie, cut Woods. You already have a vet in Diggs. No one's going to give you a fourth for Mechie. You're probably right. I really have a hard time envisioning that anybody gives a fourth rounder for Mechie. And I'd be a little disappointed if you traded him for less. If you traded him for a fifth, I'd be like, oh man, a sixth. I'd be like, oh man, that stinks.
Well, you've been through so much with him already, and he's obviously a fan favorite, but everybody's pulling for him, and there he shows you sometimes in some flashes where you're like, hey, look, if you could get close or start showing that you're getting back to where you were at Alabama before you went through everything you went through, that would be the reason why they got him in the first place. But you just haven't seen him be able to create the kind of space that you would expect of a guy at his age playing wide receiver in this league.
What's the lowest for you, Brian? What is the minimum you would take in a John Mechie trade?
Fourth. Okay. Yeah, that's the...
We're on the same ballpark.
Fifth, to me, once you get to the fifth and sixth rounds, it's picks. Like, sure, you could hit on them. People always bring up, well, Tom Brady's sixth-round pick. But the odds get to a point where I'm not really worried about it at this point. I still don't really believe he's going to do much, especially considering how heavy this top of this position is for the Texans. But if someone gave you a fourth, I'd do it. If not, I'd rather roll the dice and see if he... hits his potential at some point.
I mean, at the very least, he's your wide receiver four that's already under contract for next year,
yeah,
which I think has some value. And he's cheap. I think it has
the cheapness factor of being able to just have him in your room and know if you need him, he's a guy that knows your playbook and your system. Then, yeah, if he's in the back end of your room, you can keep him. I just don't know how they feel about him anymore.
Yeah, I feel like they're okay with him. I think they have Hutchinson higher, but I feel like they like Mechie.
I feel like they like him as a person. Everybody loves him. You can see that the way they support him. But I just feel like a lot of what we've been hearing of kind of like this mass, backing of John Mechie maybe lends itself to the fact that teams were calling a little bit to maybe pump up some value for him.
But yeah, I think he looked good in the last two preseason games though. Like we finally saw it on film with him.
In the kind of them putting out the good feelings about John Mechie, that started all the way back in like OTA. So I don't take that as necessarily trying to artificially pump up trade value because they've been talking this way since like May.
2884, why not a linebacker or cornerback for Mechie? I don't want a rental for Mechie. Like if I'm trading Mechie, I need it to be a fourth round draft pick. I don't want to like trade him for this veteran 1 year rental that's positional depth. Like I can find positional depth in the waiver wire or whenever these dudes clear the waiver wire. I'm not trading Mechie for positional depth on a rental.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna get a guy that's gonna be a key contributor just for John Mechie. Yeah. I don't think that's enough.
Well,
what they need. I don't think you're going to get trade John Mechie for a guy that's going to be able to step in, be better than Henry Tuoto, and fill in for Christian Harris.
I think you could. On a 1 year deal like this Rams dude, like I think you could trade for Ernest Jones. Like the Rams need some wide receiver depth. I think the Rams would be willing to trade Ernest Jones for John Mechie, and Ernest Jones would immediately probably be your second best linebacker while Harris is hurt.
But then the problem is that he's already looking to get his deal done before wherever he goes before he plays.
Not necessarily. He could play out the rest of the one-year deal. Like they, it wasn't a contract thing that they got rid of, or they're going to get rid of Jones. It was they tried to renegotiate a deal. He didn't want to, and then they're like, okay, well, you can find a trade. He never requested a trade.
No, he didn't request the trade, but he definitely wants to get paid.
Yeah, but I think he'd be willing to pay. I think he would play his final year of the deal.
Okay. All right. I mean, the way some of the things I was reading today was the fact that he had felt like he earned it already and wanted the deal. He wanted to get a deal done.
But I mean, he was participating in training camp.
Yeah.
Like, he's not holding out.
No, but you can do both. You can still want a new deal and still participate.
And the Texans don't have to give it to him.
Okay. All right. But then that I'm not be leery of trading for a guy like that if I don't know if he's going to, I mean, hopefully he'll still do the same thing. He'll want to take the field and play for me.
Yeah.
Because you saw it with the Jets. I mean, they go out and they make a trade.
Yeah, but he never went to report it to practice. He didn't go through an entire training camp. That's not the same.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on it. Also, The Athletic has C.J. Stroud as a second-tier quarterback number 8 in the NFL. Is that low? Is it high? Is it just right? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. He's really good at reading the holes and penetrating through them.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
5315, if you are skeptical about the value Metchie's going to add to your team, I think it's a bit far-fetched that y'all want a fourth rounder for him. I've seen much better receivers get third through fifth round picks for them. Not ahead of the cutdown day, though. Like, these receivers don't have tremendous value ahead of the cutdown day. Maybe like in the offseason, whenever you're still building out your roster. But when you're trimming from 90 to 53, you're not getting, you're not trading a John Metchie type for a third rounder or three fire.
I think they monitor the situations well enough. They know. They hear things too. They know who could possibly be on your bubble or, you know, players that you could be moving on from. They're not going to overpay at that point.
And we're not like devaluing Metchie as a talent. It's more about Metchie being in a crowded room. So, like, him being wherever he's at, wide receiver 6 through wide receiver 8, it's about the Texans' room being really, really good, not because we think that Metchie stinks. It's just going to be hard for him to be productive because it's going to be hard for him to see the field.
And there's a lot, and there's a lot of different reasons why there's guys that could be expendable. In the case of Pierce, we talk about it systematically and his running style versus the system that they run and it not being a fit. From the case of Metchie, as you mentioned, there's just so many guys that, you know, everybody in the league is talking about, one of the deepest, if not the deepest, wide receiver room in the league. You know, it's a numbers game. And at this point, he hasn't shown enough to overtake some of the guys above him. And you know, you have to contemplate at a certain point, you know, as tough as it may be, moving on from guys like that.
All right. C.J. Stroud was ranked the 8th best quarterback by The Athletic. Second-tier quarterback. Is this low? Is this high? Is this just right? They don't tier the rookies. So this is the first time C.J. Stroud's been on their tier. Tier 1 quarterbacks, I have a little bit of a problem with. They're tier one quarterbacks. They have 3 quarterbacks. They have Pat Mahomes 1, Joe Burrow 2, Josh Allen 3. That is insulting to Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes should be on a tier by himself. There should be the Mahomes tier, and then there should be everybody else. Joe Burrow, I know he's beaten Mahomes once or twice, don't belong on the same tier as Pat Mahomes.
I'm fine with it. I mean, I think that we've all said in the past, like, everybody's playing for second in terms of just the overall quarterback ranking because of all Mahomes has already done. And he's been there, done that, and he could do it again for the 3rd straight year. So if you want to put him on a tier by himself, fine. I'm fine with those 3 guys as part of tier 1. I think, if anything, I think they're one short. I thought that Lamar should be in that category then too, because if you're going to put Josh Allen in that category, you might as well put a guy with, you know, multiple MVPs that dominates the regular season.
That's why I have a problem with anybody being the same tier as Mahomes, because now you're putting another guy in the same tier as Mahomes. I wouldn't. Burrow beat Mahomes once in the playoffs. I would have Mahomes first tier, then Burrow, Allen, Jackson. They can be in that entirely different tier.
I mean,
tier.
They have to be a separate tier. The whole idea of a tier is to designate where there's drop-off. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me there's not drop-off from Mahomes to Josh Allen. It's ridiculous. Now, you mentioned Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow can at least say, well, I went into Arrowhead and beat you guys. So you can make, an argument for him, although he's got 0 Super Bowls, so it's not a great argument. But, yeah, there's definitely a drop-off from Mahomes to that next tier, so there should be an actual tier break.
I also get bothered by quarterback rankings that have Allen ahead of Lamar Jackson. Because it's like, okay, you can criticize Lamar Jackson's postseason. That's fine. You can also criticize Josh Allen's postseason.
It's the same.
And then Lamar has, like, if we're now if we're talking about like regular season, well, there's one guy who has two MVPs and there's one guy who has zero. Mm-hmm. So how's Allen ahead of Jackson? So, I mean, I don't like having separation between Allen and Jackson. If you wanted to call him a tie at this moment, that's fine. I just realized I said Allen Jackson.
A couple times. The first time you said it, it came to my mind.
After so they had Lamar Jackson 4. They have Stafford Herbert tied for 5th, Rodgers 7th, and then checking in at number 8, C.J. Stroud. They do say some nice things about Stroud, and they rank these based on like executives, general managers. They have some assistants. They even have head coaches that, you know, anonymity, and I'll give you a quote or two. A couple of the quotes on Stroud. This guy's a freaking baller. One assistant said, when watching the style of play, there's a lot of Burrow. When Joe is healthy, the dude has balls. Okay, it's one way to describe a quarterback in the NFL. A head coach of Stroud, I think he's special. He can make plays on rhythm. He can read coverage. He can get through progressions. He can manipulate coverages. He can create off schedule a lot better. Another head coach, I'm sure some people gave him a 1. 1's good, but he's got to prove it. The Baltimore game in the playoffs when he had to throw, he couldn't do it. He needs to prove he can do it in a big game against really good defenses to become a 1. I think that's fair. I think that that's fair. Now, to be 8th, I don't know if I'd have a quarterback. Hey,
I'd move him up a couple spots, but it's like to
not be on the top tier, if that's your rationale, okay. Well, that's the same reason I wouldn't have Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson on the top tier. So I can live with that, with the criticism of Stroud.
I also think, though, too, that it's such a fluid situation. By if he does, the main thing that anybody really can nitpick him on is just having to do it consistently over multiple years. If he does it again this season, and he has – obviously, he had a massive year last year, but if he has another good year this year – I don't know how you can argue anything other than the fact that this guy's capable of carrying a team on his shoulders and doing everything you need a quarterback to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really the basis. It's more like, where do you see stack up relative to the rest of the NFL? I think he needs a deep playoff run, too. Because, like, look, Josh Allen, great regular seasons. He's had good playoff games. Lamar Jackson has had really great regular seasons to the tune of 2 MVPs. I wouldn't have him on the same tier as Mahomes. So I think Stroud needs to, 1, have another really good year, and then, B, have a deep playoff run if he wants to go, like, really high whenever we're talking about this sort of stuff. And then one last quote on Stroud. I knew it right away. I was watching him play at Baltimore in his first game ever. In the first 15 plays, I was like, okay, they got a quarterback. I saw him flicking his wrist, moving in the pocket. You could just see it, which, I mean, echoes what everybody says about Stroud. Do I think Stroud's better than Rodgers right now in 2024? Personally, I do. Although I'm very intrigued by the season Rodgers has. But yeah. I would have Stroud ahead of Rodgers if I'm picking a quarterback for just 1 year. If I'm picking a quarterback to lead my team, everything else is the same. I get them for one single season. I'm taking Stroud over Rodgers. I'm taking Stroud over Herbert. I'm taking Stroud over Stafford. And that's probably where it ends for me.
I think because when you look at it, too, my big thing is we don't know. You guys mentioned this. I've seen Rodgers at, you know, doing it for years with, you know, ailments and everything else. But based on where he's coming from and now a significant injury and at his age, I have no idea what Aaron Rodgers has left in the tank. So that's a very risky proposition for me to put over a guy that's just not even close to the prime of his career yet, just getting started, did what he did in his first year, and looks like he's only going to get better. Herbert's a guy that, you know, when we talk about the accomplishments thing, you know, the playoffs thing is a big thing for him, too. And he's been less than in situations when everybody has already kind of anointed him. There's guys on this in that second tier that I question.
I have Stroud too low. What about you?
I think he's too low as well.
I think he needs to be 5th.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put him above Herbert right now. I'd put him above Rodgers because of the unknown, so that can handle it right there. Stafford's a guy I think is on the decline. Yes, he's been very, very good in his career, but I think that for at the point that he's at in his career and where CJ is, I'd take CJ over Matt Stafford.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 8089, 8 seems about right. Maybe a little too high. Okay, let's look and see who's behind him. Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts. Hurts, that's a big draw for Hurts.
It is. I mean, Dak's a guy, again, regular season, tough to argue because how good he's been. But playoffs, another guy that just hasn't been there, done that, and done it well.
Neither is Stroud, though.
You're right. I mean, you're right, but in 1 year, he's won a playoff game, and, you know, he's doing a lot of things that took either Dak a long time to do or he fell short in doing, especially last season, that you could make the argument that, this, you know, he's got such a high ceiling that there's no doubt he's going to get there, which is, I don't know what Dak's got left in the tank, too, with the team he's going to have around him, too.
Yeah, it'll be. I like Dak. I don't know. I wouldn't take Dak over Stroud though. But I do like Dak. I think Dak's a little underrated, really. Keith from LA, can you credit Sean McVay for all the love Matt Stafford's been getting on these recent quarterback lists? I think Sean McVay gave Matthew Stafford a kind of a second wind. He was considered very good in Detroit. Let's not forget that. But in terms of playoff success, yes, you can attribute some of that to McVay and then giving him like this second wind extension to the back end of his career. Yeah, sure. I think you can credit
a Super Bowl
McVay.
Championship because we know things change in terms of your overall perception.
Well, I said postseason success.
Right. And I'm saying, but even some guys have postseason success, haven't won the big one. Once he wins the big one too, that puts him kind of in a lot of people's minds in a different situation.
Stroud has big, soft hands. Okay, that's awkward. I would rather see him, Stroud, go out and have to go out and prove everybody wrong than have him go out and try to prove everybody right. That's like something you would hang up like on a classroom. It's like some little motivational quote.
Yeah, that Michael Jordan poster stuff.
You get like a little email motivation a day. I don't even know if that's motivation, really. I think one more year of this, CJ is three, but sample size is hurting him, which is fine. This guy ranked his quarterbacks. Don't really care about that.
Don't you feel like the other thing that gave Stafford a lot of love lately was between Caleb Williams and CJ talking about their favorite quarterbacks and guys that they watch?
Yeah, he's your favorite player's favorite player.
Yeah.
He's your favorite player's favorite player. 6'2", 7'8" feels about right, but if he does what he did last year, he could be top three or four easily. The best parts about these lists is they do not matter. Like, go win at football games. I'm so ready for football games. So ready for real football games. All right, 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line. CeeDee Lamb got paid, and we have to get to our weekly Winston wisdom. We're going to do this all the time. We're going to do that a little bit later on in the program. Talk about the thing that nobody's talking about with the Texan big three receivers. And then Verlander's eyeing a big shiny number. All still to come on the Killer Bees. But when we come back, our Mailbag Monday. What do you want to know from the Bees? Mailbag Monday, ask us whatever you want. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
713-780-ESPN. What is your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. We got a ton of these. We're going to go quick. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, what's your question for the Bees?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, this week, if y'all had enough money to buy one item from like a movie or a show, like for example, like Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, what would y'all buy to hang up in y'all's man cave? Thank y'all. Have a great day.
So, a piece of memorabilia from a movie or a show. I'm not a huge memorabilia guy.
Brian's gonna get a white tank top from Jason Statham.
No, that's not where I was going at all. I was actually thinking one of the yellow jumpsuits from Breaking Bad.
Well, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. How about the value that the heister stole on Ocean 11?
I don't really care about memorabilia.
Like, I don't really like stuff. I'm a bit of a minimalist.
Well, you can get a bubble shopping cart.
Yeah, I don't want that. Like, I am a minimalist. I don't like stuff. Like, I really don't want things. Because then now you have to keep up with them. You have to find places to put them. I'm a minimalist. So
what
I really don't
Tuco's
want
grill?
Stuff.
Something small that would just go up on a little shelf.
I would want something that had tremendous value. Whatever has the most value, give me that, and then I'll sell it. That's my answer.
That
sorry.
Star Wars-ish, right?
I don't want Star Wars stuff, though.
But it's got a ton of value.
Yeah, give me the value, and then I'm going to sell it. Sorry.
What about the Maverick helmet from Top Gun?
That'd be pretty kind of cool, I guess. What are you going to do with that? You're going to put it like above your bed?
Put it in your office.
Yeah.
I mean, I look, the sports memorabilia and stuff, I that's always been like a hobby of mine to collect all that stuff. So it's different. But from a movie perspective, I don't have that kind of something from a movie that goes, boom, I want that.
Yeah. 5038, Eric the Driver, what was y'all's most regretful purchase growing up before you had a regular job?
Ooh,
I have a good one.
I don't know. You got one?
Yeah. Back in my college days, I was like a semi-professional poker player, and I bought a big screen TV so I could put the poker up on that.
That's not bad, though, because you can still use the TV.
Yeah, it probably was like a little bit. It wasn't practical. It wasn't a practical purchase. Maybe didn't regret it that much. I got a good use out of it. But yeah, I bought it strictly to play online poker on it.
Brian, you got one?
Yeah, this was, actually, I was an adult when this happened, but it's one I do regret. You guys remember the wave of like whatever classic video game systems coming out, like they made the Nintendo Classic, the Super Nintendo Classic. So I bought all those and played them. And then they put out the PlayStation Classic, and I'd heard it wasn't all that great, but I bought it anyway. It's still sitting in its box. I've never even got around to play it. I remember just $100 down the drain.
I remember when I had a back injury and I thought that I would never be able to do a lot of working out stuff again. And I went and bought one of those recumbent bikes, the kind of the nice ones with the, you know, the really nice screen on it and everything like that. And then my back got fixed and it sat in my garage until I basically just donated it.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's not a great one.
No.
It's good for your back, though. 0754 is the Wheelhouse, the most boring show in radio history. They're still catching strays. That's mean. I like those guys. I like BK. I like Cody. I like Jake.
BK. Great dude.
What you're saying about BK screams loudly. What you think of the other guys? That's
exactly why I did it, Jeremy.
Oh, man. Catching strays. I like all of them. I like all of them. I have no problem with any of them. Yeah, stop sending bad things about the Wheelhouse. We're not going to read, was the Wheelhouse the most boring show in radio history? 713-780-3776. No, it's not the most boring. We've heard way more boring. Keith from L.A., what are your favorite things to eat and do on Labor Day? Mine's work. I enjoy working. I enjoy laboring on Labor Day.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't treat Labor Day the way I treat like 4th of July or, you know, like Thanksgiving for holidays and foods and things like that.
I'm kind of taken aback by the question, like, what food would you eat on Labor Day? Like, who, like, grills, hey, come over for my Labor Day, grill out. Like, who's doing that? I've never heard of that.
No, that, exactly. It's more about what sports are on TV and what is there to watch or do.
Yeah, I'm going to work, and then I know there's always a great college football game at night.
Usually at night, though.
That's what it is.
It's not like a day of great sports, you know?
It's just the college football game at night. That's really it.
Like, the NFL hasn't even kicked off yet?
No.
The NFL season used to kick off right before Labor Day. It used to be Labor Day weekend.
What's the last date of regular season in Major League Baseball? Don't they have, like, a...
First week of October?
Yeah, so there's always, like, a triple header baseball on Labor Day that I remember on ESPN, but I'm still not watching that.
I just don't watch much baseball outside of the Astros.
Right.
So, like, that doesn't even really do it for me a whole lot. Yeah, work is my favorite thing to do. All right, 713, store the PTO day. 713-780-3776. Troy, you're in the Hive. What's your question for the Bees?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Money's no object, and you can buy any franchise sports team. Who's it going to be? I'll hang up and listen.
It's a hard end to that conversation.
For me, it's pretty easy. I would buy the Packers.
From the millions of owners?
Yeah. Yeah, I still have to let the people have their shares.
You can already be an owner now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I already had people that bought me a stock that's just a piece of paper. I'm fine.
I would buy the Astros and run it better than Crane. No, I'm just kidding. It's hard for me.
I'd buy the most valuable franchise and then resell it.
Yeah, probably. I'd probably buy a football team. I'd probably buy the Texans. And I'd do cookouts and grow a handlebar mustache.
Replace Cool Cat Cal?
Yeah, I'm going to replace Cool Cat Cal.
Never. Quit.
I have all
Can
the money in the world.
Me to never quit.
He's going
to
quit because I have all the money in the world.
Never,
yeah, just give me the Texans.
Never quit.
I don't want to leave Houston. I like Houston. NFL franchises are more valuable.
But if you buy a team and then flip it, you can complete your goal of moving out of the country and just playing poker all the day.
It's true. Now, I don't have to live in Houston to be the owner.
Okay. Well, you said you like Houston. You want to stay.
I mean, I love the city, yeah. But the weather's brutal.
Yeah. Not ideal.
I would leave in the summer and then move back in the winter. Football season.
The most valuable franchises, though, if you want to flip them. Cowboys, Yankees.
Manchester United.
And I was going to say, in soccer. Soccer teams.
Yeah, I don't want to own a soccer team.
I don't either.
I don't want to own the Cowboys. Yeah.
See, Jerry got defensive today when they said he should just be owner and not GM.
Yeah, I did.
Sheesh.
Have you done something you really regret? If so, how do you recover from it?
I've done plenty of things in my life that I really regret. I think you just basically try to be better going forward. I don't know how you recover from them.
Power of prayer, Ocho. And then, you try to learn from your mistakes. We've all done things we really regret. You're not alone there, Ocho. If you need somebody to talk to, tweet at Blankers. 3270, name a deceased professional athlete in any sport that you'd love to have a two-hour conversation with if you could.
Babe Ruth?
It's not a bad one.
That's a good one. Some people might say OJ.
Maybe.
If he's going to tell you.
Right. He's got to be honest, right? But you can have a conversation.
I think mine would be Muhammad Ali.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Muhammad Ali. Maybe Jackie Robinson. Maybe Jesse Owens. But probably Muhammad Ali. He's the one that jumped out to me.
I like Jackie Robinson for sure. because there's so much that we don't know of what he actually had to endure. For even the stuff that's publicized, there was so much. It was so much worse.
5798 Brian Abreu's eighth inning cluster triggered the most sports rage I felt in a long, long time. It's a lot of rage for August 23rd baseball, my guy. What sports moment triggered your greatest sports rage?
Michael Crabtree, touchdown, Texas Tech.
Oh, it's a good call.
Right after Blake Gideon dropped the ball, they hit him right between the numbers. And then on the play where Crabtree scores, why am I blanking the safety's name? But he heard a whistle and just stopped playing.
That's right.
Instead of, you know, shoving him out of bounds, and obviously Texas gets screwed in the polls, and the rest is history.
I'm still angry about Jamal Shedd's shoes not holding up to that little ankle sprain. That really triggered me.
Terrell Owens from Steve Young over the middle where the Packers had the Niners beat.
I love that play.
I bet you did. And then the Seahawks game with the onside kick that was successful because of the backup tight end trying to be a hero and cost us the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like Steve Young, so I rooted for those 49er teams. I love Steve Young. He might have been my favorite quarterback of my youth. Yeah, Jamal Shedd ankle sprain, Tyler Hero shot in the Sweet 16.
Ooh.
The Michigan, I'm blanking on his name, hit that long right wing three that beat us in the round of 32.
What's his name from that played for the Warriors?
Right? Yeah, I'm blanking on his name. Jordan Poole. Yeah, Jordan Poole. Those are all my sports. And then whenever I was younger, I mean, I don't really get mad at sports these days unless it's, you know, a deep postseason run with my Cougars. The Brad Lidge, Albert Pujols thing, yeah. That night, I was like, oh, my goodness.
I wasn't even mad, though, when that happened. I just was, like, despondent on my – I just turned off the TV and went to bed. Like, I had no reaction. I was so shocked.
The moving screen from Karl Malone that freed Stockton for the shot.
That one pissed me off. Yeah. Or the Dame Lillard shot.
Yeah, but they already had titles.
Yeah. I was still mad when Dame hit that shot.
The Bills, look, the Bills thing. I was young, but the Bills thing for me. Like, I was
– I could see that.
I think it was the first time my mom left me home alone.
Never again.
Yeah, I was in the.
It's
your
fault.
I know. 4488. Did a spot leave Abreu in too long Saturday night?
I think it was already gone by the time. Yeah, you try to get somebody up and everything. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. He just had a bad outing. Worst outing he's had in a long time. All right, that's it for Mailbag Monday. Thanks for your participation. We had a lot we didn't get to. We'll queue these up for next Monday. CeeDee Lamb, he got paid, and we got to get. We're going to make this a weekly bit. Our weekly Winston Wisdom. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at different procedures that you can go through that gets you your hair back. And he can save the hair that you already have. He can get your hair back if you've already lost it. It's absolutely fantastic. And because you listen to us, if you're interested in him, you can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff where they explain to you all the different things they can do, how they work, and how they will benefit you. For free. It normally costs $150 for people off the street, but because you're listening to me and you want to talk to him, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com and get a free consultation. No signing on the dotted line, money out of pocket, or commitments to make. Just you talking with them and a question and answer session to see if you might be interested. It's fantastic. I had the consultation. They talked me into it because the key to me was that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, which I didn't know until Doc told me. And then when they told me that 95 to 99% of that hair that they're going to move in the neograft procedure is going to stay and be with you for the long haul, and because it's taken from a place where it never goes away, you're going to have it for the rest of your life, I was hooked. I was in, and I was thinking all the best thoughts. And then when I got done with the procedure and I did the PRP as well, and I saw the results and knew that 6 to 9 months later, it would actually be even better, I was absolutely as pleased as I could be, and that's why I'm telling you about it today. They're fantastic. They're the best. They're going to sit down and tell you, hey, you've got plenty of hair left. It's just not thick and strong like it used to be. The PRP treatment's the way to go. You don't have to go to the neograft. Or they'll be honest with you and say, hey, PRP would be great, but you have a lot of bald spots. The neograft is where you can actually get the follicles back, and then you can work on strengthening them and doing the other stuff you need to do. They're fantastic. They took care of me. You might be next in line. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com and set up that appointment.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Oh, lots of things going on in NFL today. We get to CeeDee Lamb, what that means for CD, the Cowboys, the rest of the receivers around the league. But This fires me up each and every week. Whoever is handling the Browns content, I guess, they're geniuses. Just put a microphone on Jameis Winston and let Jameis Winston go to town. Jameis Winston's the undisputed leader, captain of the Cleveland Browns, which says a lot about Deshaun Watson. So every time we have the opportunity, we're going to do this. Hopefully they do it each and every week. That way we can listen to our weekly Winston wisdom. Who would not use Jameis Winston as a therapist, as a counselor, as the philosopher in their life? Here's more weekly Winston wisdom.
Hey, man, hey, Trey, it ain't just about having fun, man.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time you played your best football game in your life.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time after that victory you went to CC Pizza and celebrated with the boys.
Yes,
yeah, for real. Feel it in your heart, man. Yes. It's a long way back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Let's not leave it without a victory.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So put everything you got on the line today. Let's have a game of memory, man. I remember. Let's go. Baby number three. One, two, three. Hey.
Winston Wisdom Weekly. You have the final preseason game, and Winston's firing his troops up to go out and garner a victory. Some people, they dangle the carrot above their heads, their motivation. For a lot of people, like CeeDee Lamb, it's money. For a lot of people, it's winning high-stake games. For Jameis Winston, it's CC's Pizza, that buffet that never ends. That's the carrot that dangles above Jameis Winston to inspire him to do great.
He is the Tony Robbins of locker room motivation. He is the speech maker.
He's above that. That CC's thing hit me hard.
CC's
pizza. As a kid in the 90s, like whenever you'd have a game and the coaches would take you to CC's afterwards, like, man, Jameis hit me right in the feels. That was a good recall there by Jameis.
Y'all went to full-blown buffets?
Yeah, well, CC's
That's
is a
CC's
buffet.
Is.
I know, but we just went to Dairy Queen.
Well,
yeah,
I
we would
know,
do that too.
We were going to CC's, so
we would do that too.
It's the buffet. Yeah, we would go to Dairy Queen. It was always like some sort of pizza buffet.
Dairy Queen would give you a free dip cone if you want.
If you would, if you
yeah,
want,
yeah, like which I mean, you could just say you won.
Yeah,
and they're taking
yeah
your word for it. But we live in the South, so people
we
understand
had the right
that you're
sponsorship.
Gentlemen.
We were the Dairy Queen Royals.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So we got it either
yeah
way.
They would give you a free dip cone if you won
I didn't
your
know
game.
That. No,
yeah,
our coaches never took us to Dairy
you
Queen. It was always pizza buffet.
You couldn't do that in 2024 since we're a generation of wimps. Now it's like everybody gets a free dipped yeah ice cream. Actually, it's everybody does not get a free dipped ice cream cone. Yeah, if you're a winner, you get a free dipped cone. Things should go back to the way that they were. But yeah, CC's was more like a Saturday afternoon. Like, if you had a weekend game that was not at night,
yeah,
CC's Pizza afterwards. Whereas Dairy Queen was more of like a weeknight game because it's late and you go to
yeah
Dairy Queen
did
for your
I mean
dipped cone.
I think ours was regardless if it was the Saturday, if you played the morning games too, depending on what time you played. If it was mid-morning, that by then you did Dairy Queen, but Dairy Queen was normally the go-to. The buffets were like, if you, like you said, Jeremy, if your team was in a like an all-day tournament and you had a gap, that you might go to the buffet and get some food before you had to go and stock up before you had to play two or three more games.
When was the last time you went to CC's?
This year.
Really?
I had no choice. My daughter was playing in a tournament.
Okay, so now you have the excuse you get to go again.
Yeah. My daughter was playing in a tournament. It was like 32 degrees, and we played like six straight games, and we needed a place to warm up, and everybody was dying, hungry, and CC's was open. We were like, boom, there you go.
I think for me it was 2007.
Yeah, that's probably it for me. I was going to say 05.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Nearly 20 years without that CC's buffet in my life. Probably good. CD Lamb got paid, guys. Jerry Jones running his mouth. It's going to cost him CD. No, it's not. Give the guy what he wants. It doesn't matter what you said, and he's going to sign. CD Lamb becomes the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Knew it was coming.
Yeah, you did. And I figure they're going to, all three of those guys are going to end up on the Cowboys again. If there's an odd man out, it could be Parsons. I fully expect that they all three end up staying with the Cowboys. But, you know, both sides got what they want. He didn't have to go through all of training camp, still got the money, and now he's ready to go week one. So, I mean, they had to have him. You knew it. As much as they need Dak, too, they had to have CD Lamb. He's been a majority of their offense as well. So, I mean, all's well that ends well.
You think he's going to – go ahead.
I think the interesting thing is I don't think they can pay – if they're willing to pay CeeDee this, they can't pay Dak probably close to $60 million per year and Micah Parsons, which if you base it off like the Bosa contract, would get it right about what CeeDee got. So we're talking, you know, $140-something million. I don't think they could construct their roster paying all three guys. They're
no,
gonna
Parsons
have to
gone.
Choose one.
Parsons gone.
You think it's Parsons?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that they move on from Dak because they're going to be – one. Well, I think they're going to be too good to be drafting high in the draft. Now, I guess you could always make a trade-up if there's a quarterback you fall in love with, but I don't think they're going to move on from Dak. I think they're going to go the offensive route.
I think whoever's the odd man out in this case, you and I talked about this last week, I think we both agreed it would be Parsons. I'm wondering if it's going to be that Khalil Mack-sized trade where they just finally realize, we're not going to pay him. We're not going to let him just walk. We're going to try and get something for him and just try and get a big haul for him.
I mean, it's not now. I mean, I guess they'd have to do it in the offseason. How long does Parsons have left?
I think he's got one more.
Yeah, I think next year's his last one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think Dak and CD were at the end of this season. I think Parsons has got one more.
When was Parsons drafted? Micah Parsons was drafted in the 21 drafts. 21, 22, 23, 24, fifth-year option in 25. So next year would be his fifth-year option.
So this could be his final season of the Cowboys.
And, I mean, right? He might hold out. Like, I mean, how often do we see players of his caliber go into that fifth-year rookie option and demand more money? He's probably going to be demanding money this offseason. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets traded this offseason.
Yeah, they might tag and trade him.
Well, they couldn't tag. They couldn't tag him because he's got another year on his deal.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah, he's right. He's on the fifth-year option. You're
right. I don't think he plays on that fifth-year rookie option.
No,
not a player of his caliber. I think he's going to hold out, hold in, whatever, and maybe get traded.
Yeah, he'll just play the CD card.
Yeah. Do you think Jamar Chase gets more money than CeeDee Lamb?
I don't. Not from Cincinnati, for sure. No, I don't. I think that, I mean, it's kind of like, what do you like? He's more of the bigger-bodied receiver. CD's obviously the super quick receiver. I don't think that he's going to get, maybe he'll get a few dollars more than CD Lamb.
Which side are you on?
I'll say he'll get, okay. if Cincinnati won't pay him more, if he hits the market, he'll make more than CD Lamb.
I think Cincinnati will give him an extension more than CD.
Do you?
Because
they have to?
Yeah, I think they want to keep Chase. I think they want to build around Burrow and Chase. And like, you have a salary cap. You have to. Like, I know the Bengals are cheap, but you also have to spend the salary cap. Like, where they're cheap is, like, you know, facilities and upgrades to the stadium. Like, they used to go to Cincinnati, you know, University of Cincinnati to borrow their bubble. And it's like, what's the pro team going to the college team to borrow their bubble? But you have to spend, you know, to the cap. I think they're going to build around Burrow and Chase. I don't think they're going to pay Higgins. I think they'll give Chase a few bucks more than what they gave CD.
I think if it comes down to it, it'll be Burrow that says he wants to keep Chase, and then they try and find a way to work it out. But I think they're going to play cheap with the dollar figure as long as they can.
I don't know. It's already been reported he's coming back to practice. So I think once this deal came out, there's, all right, we see what the market is. We basically try to meet somewhere in between CD and Jefferson, that small little window, and then he's back before the season starts.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
like
paid
you said,
before the season starts.
Or even if they don't pay him until next offseason. Well, now you have, you know, the price of not paying him this previous offseason, and of course it's going to be more. I think he'll get more than CD. CD had 135 catches last year. Over under 119.
I'm going to go over slightly. But yeah, he's not coming close to 135, but I'll say he goes over 119.
Okay.
Well, if he goes over 119, he's not that far from 135. I think I would say over just because they didn't add any weapons to the team to take away any of his targets. Although, I mean, I guess Jake Ferguson in year two, maybe he commands a little bit bigger of a target
share.
Don't
forget Ezekiel caught 50-something passes last year.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that was out of a necessity. New England had no one to throw to.
Tongue-in-cheek. Speaking of New England, Drake May's probably going to be their starter because Brissett was injured. You good playing rookie quarterbacks in non-ideal situations?
If he's your franchise, I'm not. When you look at, I think their first four games, they got some really tough games coming up. I think at Cincinnati, the Jets, of their first four, I think three of them are really tough teams. And depending on what you think of their offensive line and everything else, I don't think that Brissett, they said he could have kept playing if it was a regular season game. I think he played Jacoby Brissett early in the season and let Drake May kind of get more comfortable and get the lay of the land and not risk getting crushed.
I'm usually on the side of just play the rookie. Play the talented guy. Learn what you have. Let him go out there. And look, we thought that the C.J. Stroud was in a terrible situation last year, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe the situation's not as bad as we think. So, I'm in favor of just playing the talented guy. But I had no problem with your idea, too. Like, hey, four games are really tough. Let's give Brissett four games and then Drake May the rest of the year. I'd be okay with that, too.
I think it's different if you got a guy like Brissett, a proven veteran that's been there before, too, that you could at least trust as opposed to Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but you could have went with Case over Stroud or Mills over Stroud.
That's true. Well, that's true. I just didn't see that. I felt, I mean, from everything you heard from day one about his grasp of the offense and everything like that. It was a little different. When I saw that last night on the graphic of their first six games, I think it is, and four of them are really tough. I'm like, I want to put Drake May in the middle.
Unless you think you're going to David Carum, just beat all the confidence and mojo he's ever had out of him. I'd rather just put the most talented guy on the field, kind of believing if he truly is that guy, he'll figure it out. And if he doesn't figure it out, it's because he wasn't that guy.
Yeah, I think throw him out. I think you can learn a lot, too. Like, if you're not getting hurt, I think you can learn a lot from getting your brains beaten out. Ernest Jones, given permission to seek a trade by the Rams. Bills apparently will release Deion Jones. I'm interested in both. I would like both of them with the Houston Texans. Linebackers, I think they're an upgrade to this team. We'll see how it goes as they hit waivers, or Ernest Jones might be traded before tomorrow at 3. 713-780-ESPN. Something that nobody's talking about when you're talking about the Texans' big three wide receivers. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Do you know what week it is? It is game week. Game week is here. Football season is here. This is awesome. Your chance to see the Willie Fritz Houston Cougars this Saturday, 6 p.m., August 31st at TD ECU Stadium. You've been waiting all summer long for this, and football season is here. Can you believe it? It is game week. Head to uhcougars.com/tickets. Call 713-GO-COUGS. Lock in your tickets right now to see Houston take on UNLV. Tickets starting as low as $15. Come out. Enjoy the excitement, the pageantry, the roar of the crowd. It's all back. We've been chomping at the bit for this, and it's all back Saturday at 6 p.m. as Houston Cougar football returns to TD ECU Stadium for the start of a thrilling new era, the Willie Fritz era. Donovan Smith, of course, around as well. They'll lead the charge in the first game of the year from the marching band to the tailgates. Every heart-pounding play, this is college football at its finest. Saturday, get out to TD ECU Stadium. Watch some football as Houston takes on UNLV. uhcougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS. Lock in those tickets right now and get them for just $15. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
Blue and red rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.